Hello and welcome to the Oasis Church podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hello everyone.
Hello.
Hey, hello upstairs. I love them upstairs. Hello downstairs.
Hello.
Hello online. I love Sundays like this where we just get to gather as the whole church family, youngest to oldest, oldest to youngest, where we get to remember that it's just, it's just good to gather. It's good that Jesus is alive and Jesus changes everything for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. And just to say, if you're like here with someone who may be a bit younger and you're like thinking, yeah, but you know what it's like to be in the room with someone younger who's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to sit still at the moment. We're cool with that. Don't feel you've got to like silence people. I'm okay with noise. I'm okay with a bit of banter, a bit of throwing insults at me. I'm okay with that. I'm even okay with people throwing light punches. That's all right as well. Light, we heard that, light punches. If there gets a point where you think, yeah, but I think I'm just really bored, feel free to just vacate this room, to run around or something, or do something that's slightly more interesting. If you're over the age of, let's say 9, I don't think you're going to get bored. I think you're going to be cool, so don't worry about it. So if I see you want anyone over the age of 9, I'm going to be rugby tackling you, saying, no, you stay in the room, because it's going to be good. But I get the privilege of just taking some moments, and we're going to do it in a variety of different ways, of just reminding us of the wonder of what we get to celebrate in the beauty that Jesus is alive, of what we're going to get to celebrate in the wonder of some dear friends from the Middle East getting baptized at the very end of this morning. But before we get there, I just felt like there's a danger that we're all feeling like it's, just sit still time. It's slightly cooler in this room, just to explain, it's slightly cooler because to kind of heat up our pool that we're going to use for the baptisms, we have to pump all of the heat there in order that the water's warm enough for those who get baptized. That just means that the rest of us need to huddle in here to keep slightly warmer. But I want us to get into smaller groups and to get into groups with someone who has a smartphone, because what's going to appear on the screen in a moment, and those online can join in as well, is a slider where I'm going to pose a question, which is this: how do you like to share amazing news? Scan the QR code, get in a group, and start to punch out your answers of how do you like to share good news? And somehow, I'm going to then read the answers, which at the moment, I'm looking at the screen in front of me and realizing there is no way on earth I'm going to see that. So we'll figure out a way that the Hearst will be able to see that. 2 minutes from now to get in your groups, turn around, see someone, say, hey, come and join me. Let's punch this answers in. Okay. Hopefully, we have logged our answer now. Log it in. That's it done. I don't know how this bit ends, to be honest. I don't know anything about this sort of stuff. I just pose the question of can we do it, and it somehow happens on a screen. But hopefully, it will stop logging it. Let's read some of those answers then. As I said, there's a screen up there, but there's no way on earth that I'm going to see that. This one. Let's pick some answers. I think there's a lot of social media, is there, isn't there, that we like to share on social media. This face-to-face, though. Still the big choice. The larger the font, the more people said it. That's interesting, isn't it? Shout it from the rooftop. Wow. Like, who does that? Like, I want to go around your house because for me, I've got a Velux window, so I definitely can shout from the rooftop. So I'm just wondering who else has got that. My one that I really liked that I can't see it quite now is it said, I tell my mum, because she knows. I was like, wow, what does that mean? Like, you tell your mum and then she just knows what to do, I guess. Meals, dancing, tell people, a tattoo on your forehead. Wow, that's got to be some pretty amazing news. Because my forehead, though big, there's only so much text I could get up there. So I'd be like, Okay, Rich Betts has just shown me that once your forehead extends, there's more text that you can get up there. That makes more sense now, doesn't it? Tattoo on your forehead. The deal is, though, when you get amazing news, you can't help but share it, can you? You just want to literally shout it from the rooftops. And in a moment, we're going to look at a story where a lady called Mary gets the most amazing news. And we're going to hear it through an account that one of Jesus' friends, John, writes about Jesus' resurrection. And then just before we hear it read over us, I just want to make a couple of comments just as we join the story, because there's a danger sometimes. You say, all right, okay, that's happened. But this story, what's happened is Mary arrives at the tomb of Jesus early. She's the only one there. Gone there with a couple other ladies, and she's there like looking to try and say, actually, we need to do something to ensure that Jesus' body is dealt with correctly. But when she's arrived there, she discovers that the tomb is empty. The stone that was at the entrance had been rolled away. And she's there just wondering. At some point, it seems in John's account that the other ladies have vanished from sight. And in John's account, what happens is Mary just thinks, I don't know what's going on here. And so goes back and tells Jesus' friends, his disciples. And at that point, two of his closest, Peter and John, decide to have a race. And so they run as fast as they can. And John, who I believe is the beloved one through the account of John, says, and it just so happened that the beloved one arrived first. Which I think, well, John, did you need to kind of boast about that? But anyway, John arrives first and kind of lingers at the entrance. Peter arrives and in true Peter style just rushes straight in to see what's going on here and discovers there's no body. Just the fabric that had been put on Jesus' face and wrapped around his body. And it's just there present in the tomb. And as quickly as they get in the tomb is as quickly as they then exit. It's like, whoa, he's not here. Let's run back then, back to where we were. Whereas we're told Mary lingers. Mary doesn't go anywhere. It says that she's there weeping, worrying, wondering about what's going on. And it's at that point that we join the story. And I'd asked an amazing young lady to read the scripture over us, Anna.
John 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize there was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have put him. I will get him. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said these things to her.
Ah, so good, so good. Thank you, Anna, so much. You see, Mary, in that moment of just lingering, encounters the wonder of the risen Jesus. And as she encounters Jesus, her weeping, her wondering, her worrying is just transformed. It's transformed as she receives and hears and sees this amazing news. amazing news that I want us to consider. See, what we discover through Mary is this amazing news that Jesus is alive, that Jesus knows Mary, and that Jesus changes everything. You see, in that moment, Mary discovers, first human too, that Jesus is alive. She'd seen him die, and now he is alive before her. And in that encounter of understanding that Jesus is alive, it transforms her to someone who's just full of joy, excitement, and expectation of what is this there for me. But as well as knowing that Jesus is alive, she discovers in this amazing news that, yep, Jesus knows Mary. See, there's a moment where she encounters Jesus and she doesn't fully understand who he is. And kind of was like, are you involved in taking the body? And then Jesus just simply speaks her name. And in speaking her name, he reminds her that he knows her, knows everything about her, and that she knows him. But it's not only this amazing news that shows that he's alive, that shows that Jesus knows her. It's also that Jesus says, actually, everything's now changed. See, Jesus changes everything. And he says it to Mary. He says, like, everything now has changed now forever for everyone. And he shares the news first with Mary and says, like, how has it changed? Well, now my story has become your story, has become my disciples, my friends' story, has become everyone's story who seeks to follow me, seeks to put me at the center, that they become those that their story is transformed into my story. My story becomes theirs, that what I've always known of God being my father is now true of you, Mary. How I've eternally been loved is now true of you, Mary. And you see, the deal is the same is true for anyone who seeks to understand and seeks to see and hear and receive the wonder of Jesus, that he too is alive. That in that encounter, and maybe you've come today like Mary and you're lingering in that place of just feeling like, yeah, but life just feels so desperate, so kind of alone. Maybe you've come in weeping. Maybe you've come concerned by things that are going on. Maybe you've come with just loads and loads of doubts and questions. And Jesus comes and encounters us in that place and says, hey, I'm alive. Maybe we've come and we're like not in that place. We're kind of coming saying, yep, there's all of this stuff that I'm enjoying in life, but is this it? And Jesus says, yep, I come and encounter you there. Maybe we've come today and we're saying, yeah, I know who Jesus is. And yet Jesus still comes today and says, yep, I come and remind you that I am alive. And him being alive, he wants us to know he knows us. Just as like he knew Mary and said her name, he knows you and he knows me. He knows everything about us. And then that he longs to transform us, longs to change everything, that we would know that his story is now our story, that we get to know his father as our father, that we get to know that we are those that are eternally, forever loved. And so what I thought I'd do is just ask a few friends to share what that looks like. What does it mean then to live in the wonder of that amazing news? And so we're just going to quickly watch just a few individuals that I asked just to share something of how this amazing news of the resurrection of Jesus changes everything for them.
Jesus defeated death, which means that I don't need to be scared of it, because I now have a certain hope for the future. And I know that this life is not the end. And this just provides me hope throughout my daily life, through the ups and downs of life, that my future will never be changing in him.
Jesus's resurrection means that God has won the victory over sin and suffering in my life. It means that I can come to God however I'm feeling, however weak I am, and know his embrace, his loving kindness, his gentleness, and his strength in my life.
Jesus has quite literally carried me through the valley of the shadow of death. Without him, I just wouldn't be standing here today. I am just so thankful that I now know the peace that the Bible speaks of, the peace that transcends all understanding, the peace that has given me such comfort through some really quite dark and difficult times, and that has shown me that there is a better and easier way.
Good morning, Oasis. My name's Mike Hurst, and due to current circumstances, my wife Pam and I tend to worship online on a Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus, for me, is pretty much life-defining. 59 years ago, I was able to accept Jesus as my saviour, and that has affected all the decisions that I've made ever since. It's given meaning, it's given purpose, it's given hope, it's given joy, it's given community, it's given spiritual awareness, and an eternal perspective on life, which is so important so often. The adventure that is a life in Jesus encompasses so many different aspects that it's impossible to, you know, summarise in moments. But what I have found is this, that the resurrection of Jesus, regardless of circumstances, so whether it's in joy, sadness, confusion, anxiety, hope, opportunity, the resurrection of Jesus is enough. Full stop.
It means that I can work as a palliative care doctor in the global south, resting in the truth that Jesus has conquered the grave. I then get to partner with him in bringing his kingdom of reconciliation, wholeness, and freedom from suffering to a world that so desperately needs it, safe in the knowledge that Jesus has beaten sin, injustice, and death.
The older guy in there, that's my dad, who's online at the moment. Thank you, Dad. That was amazing. There, he's good, isn't he? Hey. See, the danger is we could stop here, whereas I think this whole moment is in order that we get to a point of saying, yeah, but how do we respond then to this amazing news? And I say there's three ways. Firstly, I think it's as Mary did in receiving. As Mary encountered Jesus, as she saw him, as she heard him, she didn't back off. She just lingered. She received everything that Jesus was saying to her. Just as my dear friends who shared on that video just said, yep, they've received Jesus, everything he's offering. Are we going to do that? Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you're someone who came in saying, yep, I've been on this journey trying to discover who Jesus is, and I'm starting to see, yeah, he's alive. He knows me. And he longs to change everything for me. Longs to cause me to know that his story is now my story. I'm forever unconditionally loved by God. No peace with God. Maybe it's that you've come and said, yeah, I want to receive you, Jesus, for the first time. Maybe it's the millionth time. That like we've just been living this journey. Maybe it's like over 59 years. We're like, yeah, Mike Hurst, step aside. I'm 69 years in with Jesus. I don't know what it is. But for us, whether it's the millionth time of saying, Jesus, I receive you. The wonder, let's never grow tired of that. The wonder that Jesus is alive. Our whole faith rests on that reality. If Jesus didn't arise from the dead, we are foolish gathering here. There's so many other things we could do otherwise. Go back home and wash your cars. I know Jesus is alive. More than that, he knows us. Let's not go tired of that, grow weary of hearing, yet he knows us. He knows us by name. He knows everything about us, the things that we love to present, the things we want to hide away. He knows it all, and he longs for us to know him. And he's changed us forever. His story now, our story. I don't know how you wake up. I wake up every morning just thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. Your story is my story. Hello, Father. It's just a good way to wake up. But not only is it receiving, secondly, it's sharing. See, Mary, there's this moment where she just is like, wow, Jesus, you're alive. I want to cling to you. I want to worship you. And Jesus is like, it's just not the time. The time of worship will come. But this time is about sharing. You need to rush and tell my friends. Those who couldn't linger, now go and tell them, I'm alive. I'm alive. I know them, and I've changed everything. And so Mary rushes to share. And that's what we're invited to do as we respond to the wonder of Jesus' life, as we become a bunch of people who are seeking to share the wonder of this message with everyone and anyone. That's why a group of us went down to Harborne High Street on Friday and stood in front of a cross and sung songs on the high street and spoke words of scripture on the high street and prayed on the high street and spoke to people who were passing by. Why? Because we want to share the wonder of Jesus' death and his resurrection and how it changes everything for everyone. Therefore, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, this is good, but hey, what about the chocolate, Hurst? It's Easter Sunday and you haven't given us any chocolate. Well, that's because I knew I'd need to, at this point, keep you focused on me. So I thought I'd give you some chocolate. I got 3 bowls of chocolate. And then there's chocolate eggs. I'd like you to take 2 eggs. 2 eggs. One is for you and one is to share. Because as you go, I want you to remember that we go knowing we've received and we get to share. As they're going around, now this is the danger, because I'm asking you to do 2 things at once at this point in time. I'm asking you to grab 2 chocolates, and you're thinking, 2, 2, 2. I'm also asking you to continue to listen to me. So here's the deal. See, that sharing is both what we go out and give and share with others, but it's also what we're going to hear and see today. See, we are going to see the beauty and wonder of the sharing of all that Jesus has done because Jesus is alive by some dear friends from the Middle East getting baptized. Because baptism is ultimately about sharing the wonder that Jesus is alive. At the end of this gathering, before we then get to celebrate through eating together, Jesus loved meals. We love meals. And we love hanging out together. Before we get there, we're going to see 2 individuals be taken around the back, taken into a big pool of water, and do what we've just read. Be taken under and brought back out as a sign and an announcement and a sharing of the amazing news that Jesus is alive. Now, for those online, I'm sorry you don't get to see it, but we'll tell you the stories afterwards. But for those of us in the room, it's going to be amazing. Because what we get to see is as each individual is taken under, it's announcing, it's them sharing this amazing news. Oh yeah, my old life with me at the center and all that therefore meant, that's died, it's gone. It's like, it becomes like a tomb, it's there, left. And that then as they're raised out of the water, it's them sharing, now I am in this new life. In the risen Jesus, a risen life in Jesus where I know I am known by him and I get to know him. This life where I get to know that he has changed everything for me that allows me to live in the wonder that I am forever unconditionally loved and accepted by God and know peace with God. And that's what we're going to get to see, sharing. As they get baptized, we get to share in it as they're sharing. It's like a share feast. Last one then, 3rd one, thanksgiving. Mary, though, couldn't cling to Jesus at this point. I don't imagine she was looking at the floor. I don't imagine she went off to the disciples kind of scuffing her feet or kind of emo style, kind of, oh, better go and tell them Jesus is alive. I think she was skipping. You want to see me skip? Yeah. It's been a while. You have to linger up. I don't know why I did that. And there isn't enough room because I have quite a long gait. And so the skip is not going to work. But I think she was skipping. Now, in it, I like skipping because I'd quite like, just as a quick aside, I'd quite like that sort of skipping to be how all of us go from place to place. It's not running. Anyone can run. It's not walking. Anyone can walk. Skipping, we just don't do it enough. When you're little, people skip all the time. And so I'm thinking of creating an underground skip scheme where I invite people to meet up probably like 11:30 p.m. in a car park somewhere in the city center, and then we skip till our hearts are content through the city. That's a quick aside. Anyway, I think Mary's there. She's skipping to tell them why? Because she's transformed. She's transformed with this thanksgiving, this joy and celebration that the Jesus she loved, who she thought was dead, is now alive. And surely that's where we should be at this point. Jesus is alive. He knows us, and he's transformed and changed us. So therefore, I should have asked at this point the band to come back already, but I didn't. I got too excited about the skipping thing. So band, come on back. Because we need to thank Jesus that he is alive. Should we stand? Dave's a skipping. No one else is skipping, but it will create some more of a buzz. Let's stand, let's celebrate. Jesus is alive.